Joseph, and he's introduced just a few times to us before this, but this wouldn't really get into it. I want to preach to you tonight on thank God for his help. Thank God for his help. Aren't you glad for his help in life? Well, let's look here at Genesis 39. We'll read verses 1 through 6 in our Bibles tonight. Genesis 39, 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. I want you to notice it says down two times. Now, usually when the Bible talks about Egypt, Egypt is a picture of the world. And whenever Abraham or any of the rest of them would go to Egypt, they were going down. You know, folks, if you go out to the world, you're on a downward spiral spiritually, right? Well, Joseph had no choice but to be in the world, in Egypt. Just like you. Do you have any choice about it? If you had your choice tonight, you'd say, I'd rather have just gone on to heaven. But the Lord left you down here in Egypt, right? Well, he had to go to Egypt. So he sold as a slave. And he's now in Egypt. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, the help of God. Thank God for his help. You say, help? What help? Didn't you say he was a slave? Didn't you say he was just sold into slavery? Kind of seems a little opposite, doesn't it? But yet it talks about how much God was with him and how much God helped him. Thank God for his help. Folks, just because God's with you and helping you doesn't mean you're going to have an easy path through this life. So we better do like Joseph and thank God for his help. Amen. The Lord was with him. The Lord was prospering him. The Lord was blessing him, even in those circumstances and adverse situations that he was in. Let's pray once more. Father, guide and direct us tonight. Give us your power and direction as we preach on this subject tonight of Joseph. And, well, Lord, we do thank you for your help. And I ask you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph had been betrayed and sold by his 10 older brothers. It was a terrible situation that he found himself in. He was favored of his father, but despised by his brothers, and they even discussed killing him. But they decided they'd get some money out of him. That would be the better of the two, they thought. They wouldn't have a messy situation there of burying him, and they can get some money out of it. Wonderful brothers. Oh, isn't that wonderful, thoughtful of them? To let him live somewhere else and just get rid of him. So now he's a slave going down, down, down into Egypt. And it looks like he won't be going up anytime soon. He was thrown down into the pit, thrown down into Egypt, eventually thrown down into the dungeon, if you will, and into the prison. So things were not going very well for him. But I want to say God helps us even in our trials. Listen to this little bit of a review about his life. As a young person with his father Jacob, they had to flee Uncle Laban. Remember that? They took everything up and they got out of town. They had to flee. And of course, Laban tried to track them down. Then they fearfully had to face Uncle Esau. And that was a trying time. Rachel being the favorite of the mothers of the children and the wife. And Joseph were put in the rear of the whole thing. Why? Because they were his most prized possession, so he valued them, and he was protecting them. That had to have been scary for young Joseph, though. I mean, have you ever thought about that? He had to, you know, Daddy, why are we leaving Laban like this? Why is Uncle Esau such a bad man? And he's having to figure all this out. His father ends up with this mysterious limp. He comes in one day and he's limping, and he has that limp for the rest of his life. He may not have known or understood why that he had wrestled with God and God changed his life, but God broke him to bless him, right? But he had to see this was going on there in his life. His brothers in Shechem killed a bunch of people because his sister had been assaulted. You say, man, he got a lot of help from God, didn't he? Sounded to me like he had a pretty rough life. Things were not going too well there. His mom died giving birth to his youngest brother, Benjamin, while he was still young. His brothers despised him. His brothers sold him into slavery. And you say, help? What help? Now, I'm telling you, all of that was help because God gave him some big dreams and God had some big plans, but God had to do some things in his life or allow some things in his life so that he would be strong enough to face those things later on. Do you realize your troubles and your trials have a reason and a purpose? And some of the things that you go through and you face with God, the only reason you can face them now is because you faced a whole bunch of other stuff along the way. Amen? You've been going through it in your life, right? You say, why is it one thing after another? It's helping you. God helps us with our trials. God helps us with our troubles in our life. It's hard to imagine, but no pain, no gain is a true statement. And God does put us through some of these things in our life. So yes, he had the big dreams, but right now, where are the dreams? Well, they're coming eventually. His dreams got him in trouble with his brothers, and even his dad had to take notice on one occasion about his dreams, about them bowing down. Well, they eventually did. But it was going to be a while from this point right here. So God had to prepare and strengthen him so that he could do the jobs that God had planned for him later. You're enduring some things right now, and it's unconscious preparation for something else that God knows is coming in your life. I'm glad he knows it's coming. And I'm glad he knows how to prepare us for it. Amen, aren't you? And God knows how to get you there and get you strengthened. But I'm going to tell you, some people, and Joseph, we wouldn't blame him if he did, but some people, they get bitter with God, but God says, no, I want you to get better with me, not bitter with me. So God does allow some things to happen in our life oftentimes. Now you say, well, that just sounds awful. God putting him through all of that, or God allowing all of that. But you got to remember, Christians know something. Christians know that this earthly life is temporary, is just a drop in the bucket for what God has planned, to the rewards and the blessings of eternity in heaven. And that's what he said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And Joseph lived his life as if he understood that truth. He never read it. Paul hadn't written it. But I'll tell you one thing. The Word of God was always written before the foundation of the world. That truth still was there. And God put it in his heart. So no matter what happened to him, he had his affection set up there with God, right? He had his aim set up there in heaven. Christians know that this all earth is temporary. That's a point of view that we have to keep before ourselves. And that's one thing one reason you stay in your Bible, and one reason you go to church and you're reminded of these things, right? That this is temporary, and you know, it doesn't matter what all we go through down here, what all happens to us down here. I'm telling you, at 10,000 years up there in heaven, it won't be anything. And what will our 80, 90, or 100 years, or 110 years, people are living longer these days. Well, you know, whatever it is, I don't even know what's old anymore. Do y'all? I don't even know what's old anymore. But compared to eternity in heaven, think about that. That's what I told my dad. He's 86. He's about to have that heart valve. They said it lasts 12 years. I said, you can do it again when you're 98, right? And do it again and keep on going, right? He laughed too, but that too. But anyway. But people are living longer these days, but nevertheless, we're going to face things. But compared to eternity, it's nothing. Let's look at three things out of the passage tonight. Number one, talking about the help. I'm talking about thank God for his help, the help that God gave him. Why did God give him help? He was helped because God was with him. That's in there, right? It said God was with him, right? In verse 2, Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, the master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. His brothers hated him and despised him and sold him. But even though, no matter where he went, the Lord was with Joseph. No matter what he went through, no matter what he endured, no matter what he faced, the Lord was with Joseph. Isn't that a big deal right there? He was helped because the Lord was with him, no matter the valley. No matter the storm that came into his life, no matter the circumstances, adversities that hit him in his life, no matter what was going on, God was there. And it seemed that Joseph never really doubted the presence of God. It's like he knew those truths again before many of them were even written, that God will never leave you nor forsake you, and that God will work all things together for good. I mean, he hadn't read these things, but those truths were in his heart. Why? The Lord was with him. The Lord was right there helping him every step of the way, no matter what went on. Brothers despising him, falsely accused, is yet to come later in this chapter, thrown into prison, all of these things. And years are going by, wondering about the big dreams, God, that you put in my heart. But the whole time, no matter how bad it was, no matter how many times he was going down, 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 the Lord was with him in those valleys. He was blessed and he was helped because the Lord was with him every step of the way, working out his plan. You have things come into your life and you're like, Lord, I didn't sin, I didn't disobey, Lord, why is this coming? God's going to allow you to face some things that you didn't plan, right? And you didn't look for in your life. God says all things work together for good. He didn't say all things were good. Amen. You know, believers today, the Lord's with us. You know, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit today. You know, in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person at special times for special occasions. I would like to think Joseph had that quite often, right? Maybe the Lord came upon him several times in special occasions, like he did the judges and all of that. The Lord would help them and the prophets. But they were not indwelt. It was different. But in the New Testament era that you and I live in, thank God, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes into our heart and life, literally. And when the Spirit of life comes in, our spirit that was dead in trespasses and sins is quickened and made alive. And then we're constantly with our Savior. You're constantly with the Lord. You know, I might have even prayed it tonight, and sometimes we do. Lord, I hope you show up tonight. Well, actually, I hope we all brought him with us tonight. Amen. He came with us. He's everywhere. He was already here too. Amen. But he was with us on our way here. The Lord is always with us. Wherever we go, the Lord is there with us in our lives. So the Lord's, you know, in Matthew 28:20, when he gave the Great Commission, the Lord said, lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the world, wherever you go. The Lord said, I'll be with you. As you live for me, as you serve me, as you witness for me, as a missionary goes off to a foreign field somewhere. Lo, I am with you. The Lord is always there with us all the time. I was talking last Wednesday night. I was in a church back home, and I was talking to a man. I knew the man, and he used to be a missionary. And he was asking me where I lived, how far away I was. And I said, it was about 4 hours, you know. I said, and I knew he was a foreign missionary for many, many years. So I told him, I said, well, if I ever get to feeling bad about how far it is to get home, I just think about you missionaries on the other side of the world. Amen? Just a few hours, I could make the drive, right? But wherever we are, wherever we go, the Lord's there. The Lord is with us no matter what we're doing or where we're going. The Holy Spirit is our constant helper, our constant comforter, our constant guide in life, our constant strengthener, if that's a word. He strengthens us all the time, right? He enables us and empowers us all the time in our life. And like Joseph, the Lord is watching over us too and working out His divine plan. Even though it doesn't seem like we're getting any help, you got the helper with you. Right?
It may have seemed like at times Joseph wasn't getting the help of God, but he knew in his heart the Lord was with him. I mean, that's why the Bible says about Joseph, says it twice right here in this text, that the Lord was with him. So he got constant help because of that. And he's looking out over you. He's working out his plan that he has for you. I don't know if God's given you dreams like he gave Joseph or not. I don't know if those dreams seem to be shattered like they seem to be for Joseph or not. But if God gave them, you hang on to them. Amen? Because the Lord is working out his plan and the Lord is right there with you. I tell you, that's just always good preaching. Good truths to preach with the life of Joseph. Amen? And one of the best ones is that although he had trouble, he had help. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Always the Lord was with him. Thank God he's with us too. Let me say this, number two. He was helped because he was a witness for God. He was a witness for God. Look at verse 3. What did it say? And his master saw that. Saw what? That the Lord was with him. You know, when people see you, you know what you become? A witness of something. If people see that the Lord is with you, you just became a witness for the Lord. Right? He was helped knowing that he was a representative and an ambassador of the God that had given him those dreams. You know, God calls us that, by the way. The Lord said you shall be witnesses, right? The Lord said you are ambassadors. We are representatives of heaven tonight. You know, God helps us and blesses us, I think, with that truth. Has it ever helped you to be reminded, I am a witness of the Lord tonight? I am to witness for God, and people see my life. This man saw Joseph's life. He saw everything about him, and it was a witness for God. You know how you and I handle our troubles and our trials? It's a witness. Good or bad, it's a witness, right? How we handle the problems in life. If we get bitter with God, that's a bad witness. If we get better with God through our trials, that's a good witness. Nevertheless, we're a witness. And it ought to help us to remember that we are a witness for God. So here he is. Potiphar saw all this stuff. Laban had seen in Jacob, Joseph's father there, that the Lord was with him and he was blessed because of him. Now people are seeing it there with Joseph, that the Lord was with him and he is blessed of God, and those around him are blessed because God is with him. He's a witness of these things, right? They can see it. He saw it. And obviously he saw that something was different about this young man. Verse 6 says he trusted him so much he left everything into his care. Just he didn't have, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says Joseph was a goodly person and well favored, was the last phrase that we read there in verse 6. He saw something is different. I wonder how many times he said, Joseph, how old did you say you were? Just 17, sir. You sure you're not 27 at least? You sure are a mature young man. You sure are a nice young man. You sure are a polite young man. You sure know how to work. You work better than most of the servants, slaves, workers that I have around here. He knew something was different about that young man. He saw it in him. Therefore, he could just put him over. He made him overseer over all of his estate. He said, man, you are in charge. These other guys don't know what to do. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They need somebody to tell them what to do. I can't be here all the time. You know what needs to be done. I just want you to be in charge. And I'm just entrusting you with everything. Everything you touch prospers. Everything you touch gets blessed. He said, I can trust you. He was an honest young man. That's a great testimony. It was a great witness that he saw. He saw the witness of this young man. All these good traits. Now, you know what he probably said? You were raised right, weren't you? Was Joseph raised right? Y'all think so? Y'all believe that? Y'all believe Jacob taught him? You think he was raised right? Y'all got to get with me now. Boy, you were raised right. You know what to mess up your theology? To remember his 10 older brothers were raised by the same people and taught the same things. Well, that'll mess with your theology right there. Boy, you've got the greatest parents in the world. I can tell you a wonderful person. Joseph calls, man, what do you do with those other 10? They were wicked. They were evil. Think about that.
I heard somebody say this a while back, and I'll just throw it out because it fits right there. You got to be careful about taking a lot of credit when your kids turn out right and praising people because their kids turn out so great. Somebody ought to remember two things. One is the grace of God and the responsibility of each individual. Because I'm telling you now, some other people taught their kids the exact same thing and got different results. And now we go tell them they were terrible parents? Y'all with me? Boy, he was raised right. Look at this guy. Look at his 10 older brothers that almost killed him and sold him. Folks, I'm just saying, thank God for His grace when it turns out right. But remember, we all have to give an account to God for ourselves. Amen? Right? That is so true. We see that all through the Bible, though. But you know what, folks? He was helped to be a witness for God. Knowing that he represented God kept him on the right path. You know, as a young man, a lot of times, knowing that I was raised right, knowing that I was taught right, knowing that I was a Christian, it was in the back of my mind, I need to keep my testimony clean. It helped me stay straight, right? And whenever you know that you're supposed to be a witness for God, it's going to help you to be that ambassador. It's going to help you to walk worthy of the Lord. I'm glad that Joseph took God seriously and said, I want to represent God even though I ended up where I am. He was a witness for God. It helped him to be a witness for God. Here he is as a slave. Here he is going through all the stuff that he's going through. Folks, you and I can choose to obey Matthew 5:16, to let our light so shine, men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We got to choose to do that. We got to ask God to help us to do that. And although a lot of others don't seem to be doing it, I'm glad that Joseph took this thing seriously in his life. So even in our trials, you trust God. Even in your trials, you stay true to the Lord. You be a witness of His great love and His faithfulness. You say, well, people say, I don't see where God was very faithful to him to let him go through all of that. God had a reason for it. God had a plan for it. And Joseph, you know, whenever he finally in chapter 50 told his brothers, you meant it for good, God, you meant it for bad, and God meant it for good, I bet he was glad he stayed true. Somehow, I think he knew it the whole time. But there came a day whenever he was able to say, God had a plan, and I knew it the whole time. He stayed true to God. He kind of like Job. He chose to take God seriously and stayed true to God. He was helped because God was with him. He was a help because he remembered he was to be a witness for God, as he was taught. Number three, he was helped because God made him well off. God made him well off. Now, let me say this. Twice it says that he prospered. That, you know what that means? It means he was successful. Now, did Joseph become wealthy? Yes. Was he wealthy here? Not at all. Was he wealthy right there? No. Was he wealthy in a few days when he got thrown into prison? No. Did he eventually get to be wealthy? Yeah, he became the second in command to the king. That was coming, but he didn't know it. But yet the Bible keeps saying he's prosperous. The Bible keeps saying he's successful. I mean, if he had heard God say, or heard people say, man, everything you do, God prospers. Everything you do is blessed. Everything you do is successful. And then he finds himself sitting in prison. What happened to all my success? What happened to all my prosperity? Hey, folks, if you think the only time God's favoring you is when you're on cloud nine and the finances are wonderful, you're in for a rude awakening several times in your life to say, where's God now? I'm glad God was helping him by being with him, but God did make him well off. He was blessed. And he was helped by God here because God made him well off. Now, let me say this. Eventually it came. But I want to tell you, he was well off with God the whole time because of his walk with God, his relationship with God, and the fact that God was with him.
Now, look, again, the world doesn't see it like this. The world says, you're giving your life to God. You know, you could trash that plan and go make a whole lot more money somewhere else and do some more things. Somebody told me today, was telling me today about having to be honest about some things. And they were told that people that cheat are winners. If you don't cheat, you're not going to make it. And you say, here you are saying, I'm trying to be a Christian, I'm trying to do the right thing. You know what, folks? They might look successful, but they're not with God. You are. Now remember, you don't have it right now, perhaps, in material goods, but guess what? One day, and he didn't have it at that point either, one day he became second to the king. You don't have it right now in material goods, but you've got a place up in heaven, and you're gonna be there one day. Amen. But you know, just like Joseph was, he didn't have to wait to become rich in the Lord. He was rich right then. Do you know you don't have to wait? You're rich in Christ right now. You're rich in Christ right now. The riches of His glory are yours. You say, well, I wish I had $1 million. You don't have $1 million. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you do. But I know one thing, you got prayer. And God's got untold riches. Right? You say, well, I don't have $10 million. God does, and you're His child. But that's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual status and spiritual riches and spiritual blessings here. You may not have everything somebody in the world has, but you've got a home in heaven and they don't. They may have fame and fortune just to die and go to hell without Christ. The rich man and Lazarus, right? And in his life, he had it good. In Lazarus' life, he had it bad. But now, the roles are reversed. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. Lazarus was, well, even whenever he was a beggar, he was richer than the rich man. Because the Lord was with him, and the Lord had plans for him, right? Folks, it goes back to that thing of set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If we'll realize this world is temporary, it's temporal, everything that we have, we get so attached to things down here, don't we? We need to just one day let it go and say, I'm laying up treasure up in heaven, right? A lot of people can't get treasure up in heaven because they're trying to build treasure down here, and this is temporary. This ain't going to last. I'm not telling you to be foolish, you know, with your money or anything like that, but you get what I'm saying. It's coming, amen, but you got it right now. 2 Corinthians 8, the Bible says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. And Paul used the word rich or riches in Christ numerous times in his epistles. Paul in prison could talk about being rich in Christ. Again, it's a reference to spiritual blessings. He taught about our inheritance in the Lord. He talked about you being a child of God, a child of the King. Folks, did you know you're helped by God right now? Because you're well off in Christ. That's not health, wealth, and prosperity. You know, a lot of people turn that whole thing around and say, well, you're supposed to be rich in material goods because the Bible said so. It's not what it's talking about. Jesus didn't even live that life. I just read it. He became poor so that you could become rich spiritually. And one day in heaven, everybody's going to be rich up in heaven. Don't you think that? Now, I don't know now. Somebody might have a bigger mansion than mine because they sent more treasure up ahead. I don't know how all that works. But we ain't going to worry about it a whole lot. We're not going to be doing a lot of comparing, right? We're all going to be rich up there. We're rich now in Christ. The riches of His glory. So it'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know you've got the help of God in everything? It's like Joseph. You've got the help of God. We might have to wait for heaven, but the truth of the matter is you're rich right now. You say, well, one day I'm going to have eternal life. I'm telling you, you got it now. You've got eternal life right now. You're not waiting to get eternal life. You're just waiting to get to heaven. You've got eternal life now. That's why you're going to get to heaven. I mean, you're saved eternally right now.
I ask, you know, some people question eternal security and say, you know, boy, that's a terrible doctrine y'all teach. I reminded somebody recently, I said, look, once saved, always saved. If saved. If you're saved, you're going to keep living for Jesus. If you're saved, the Lord's going to draw you back. So don't say, hey, I'm saved, I've got grace, I can go live like I want to. A real born-again Christian doesn't talk like that. A real born-again Christian, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? If you're a real born-again Christian, you say, I got a hunger for the Word, I got a hunger for church, and I want to be with the Lord, and I want to have the blessings of God. If we're a worldly like Lot, we're missing out. We're backslidden like Lot, we're going to be miserable. And then we're wondering if you're going to make it or not, because we don't see the evidence in your life. Well, once saved, always saved, and I'm going. Once saved, always saved, if you got it to start with. I want to see some evidence that you got it. Boy, that's a whole nother sermon right there, but that's a good one right there, too. Amen? I hope somebody might need it and get that one right there. We want to see some, God wants to see some fruit in evidence, is what I'm saying, right? We're going to get to heaven. We got eternal life right now. Isn't that what I was saying? Isn't that wonderful? If you're saved, you got eternal life right now. You're waiting. All you're waiting to do is see the streets of gold, but you're a citizen up there right now. All you're doing is waiting to get your address up there in heaven, but you're a citizen right now. That's help. Does that help you tonight to be reminded of that? Does that help you to know He's with you? Does it help you to remember that you're His witness and therefore we ought to behave a certain way? And Joseph did, didn't he? Not getting into it, but why did he end up in prison? Because he behaved right, and he was honest, and he kept himself pure. But you know what? He was eventually blessed for all of it. Amen? Right? He got help. Aren't you glad for the help of God? You know, he had a tough life. I mean, just reading through that tonight, I'm thinking, you know, the Lord's with him. Yeah, I mean, I can't get past the thought that he just got sold into slavery. The Lord's with him. He's prosperous. The Lord's blessing him. Well, wait a minute. I got to keep going back up to verse 1. This doesn't add up. Your life may seem kind of like that too, down here in Egypt, right? But you got to remember, you're not staying in Egypt. This world, Egypt, is not my home. Amen? Now, I'm going to have some troubles and trials and problems and valleys down here, and you too. But we got the help of God. It was a rough life, but Joseph did have God's help, and God has His eye on you. And God has His plans for you just like He did Joseph. I hope you get some help out of these truths tonight. Just being reminded of how Joseph got help, even though it didn't look like he was getting much help. The help was there. The help was there. Where? Even in slavery. Even in prison. Even in a faraway land. The help was there. What was the help? Divine help. It was God's help. Now we're waiting to get to heaven. But we're helped right now. We're helped. We've got the helper, the comforter, right? Thank God for it. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's think about these things. Oh, Joseph is a wonderful, wonderful character in the Bible.